were interested in one particular verse. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read the text, and I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to try to get some feedback from you. So let's look here in verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" I have no idea what it is when I get ready to pray on Wednesday night, and a lot of times when I get up here, I just have this, my brain seems like it's starved for oxygen, so I start to yawn and yawn and yawn and yawn. It only happens when I get up here. I'm telling you, it only happens when I'm here. It only happens when I'm here. It's the only time it happens. So you just have to bear with me. Don't know why that is. So Peter's confession, verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now I want you to look at verse 17. Based on that confession of Peter, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." That means Simon, son of Jonah. The bar means son of. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So we can say this, that the understanding of who Christ is a supernatural revelation. Can I get a witness? Okay. To know who Jesus is does not come by an investigation of the earth as we know it. Doesn't come from knowledge of individuals. Doesn't come from knowing preachers. It comes by divine revelation. So even though Psalm 19 verse 1 tells us, and I'm not saying even though in the sense that it's less important, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." The voice of the heavens that God has ordained for His glory. Everybody can see that. And I remember Otis Morris preaching on that particular text in Psalm 19. And he comes down to verse number 4 and 5 where it talks about the sun going back and forth, going through the earth. We could quote that to you. But down in verse number 6 it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." He said there are two ways that God reveals Himself. Number one is the world book. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. But the other way He said that God declares Himself, first way is the world book. The second way is the word book. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The only way that you can understand who God is by divine revelation. God has to reveal that to you. And God does that in our day and time, not through the sky, but through the Scriptures. Through the preaching of the Word of God. Now, having said that, let's look at the next part of this. Verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, Rome looks at this passage, and they will say this, that the word Peter, Petros, means rock. Okay? Petroglyphs are writings that are on rocks. We see those in caves all over the place when people are going back and studying ancient man, etc. Well, the word Petros means rock. Because of that, they say this, that when it says, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," they're saying that that rock happens to be Peter. Well, the rock, excuse me, is not a man. It is the man's profession. It's the man's profession. You don't build a church on a man. Can I get a witness? Now, that doesn't go just for the Roman Catholic institution, which really isn't a church. It also goes for any church right here, any church body. The church isn't built on a man. What's sad is there are many works that were back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even the 80s. They were built up into great, great works and had hundreds and hundreds of people, even in the thousands, built up into those churches where people would come and worship. But as soon as that pastor died, that was it. The work went downhill. Why is that? Because people normally, I mean rightfully so, they follow a leader. And that's true. It's just hard for people to be able to transfer that loyalty from one leader to the new leader who comes in. And that's why at some point in time, and I'm going to tell you, I need to mention this before the whole church, at some point in time, I'm going to bring an assistant person in here into the church at some point. Somebody I can trust, somebody I can train, somebody I can teach, somebody I can help to learn how things need to be done for the church. And then whenever I'm absent, preaching out meetings or something like that, they can fill in. And then when in the event that I die, I drop dead of a heart attack, there'll be a shakeup, I'm sure, you know, whatever. People, I would hope people would be a little sad if I kicked the bucket. I hope they would. But when that happens, what would happen is that assistant would automatically come right in, fill the pulpit, and things go right on, and there's no change and time of trouble in the transition. Okay? No, and the church here has seen what happens in transition. You've seen what happens. There are families. Maybe there's some listening on Facebook this morning. I wish they would be listening. If they left the church during transition and didn't come, they need to be here. They need to be here. And some of them probably left here. I've heard some say, well, I love my church. Well, actually, this is your church. And you jumped ship and went somewhere else. And so, in fact, I don't know of any of them who would have gotten a member or a letter or anything like that from whenever since we got here. And, I'll just throw this out. We've had several people from our church go to other churches in the area, and I haven't gotten a phone call from a pastor, nor have I gotten a letter asking for a letter for their membership. That says a lot about the lack of character in those men who pastor those churches. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I said it publicly, and I'm not going to apologize for it. If I have somebody come from another church, and they come here from across town, I need to call the pastor at that particular church, if it's a church of like faith, and find out. Now, if somebody comes from the Catholic Church, I'm not going to call Father whoever up at St. Michael's and ask him. I'm just going to try to get these people saved and try to get them in. Amen. Amen. So if they're preaching truth, then that's one thing. So I don't know where they came from, but just praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Amen. So, and that went out publicly. It's on Facebook now, I guess. Not that we have too many people watching, probably, but that's just the way that is. So, you don't build a church on a man. A church is not to be built upon a man or upon a personality. It's to be built upon the Scriptures. All right? And so having that understanding, let's look just for a minute. Jesus asks Peter, or asks the disciples, who do they say he is? Once it is revealed that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, once that has been revealed, now Jesus begins to tell Peter that based on that revelation of his identity, we're now going to begin to build the church. This is very, very important. Here's why. The church is not a building, but it is comprised of all the people who make a like profession of faith. So here's the question. Here's the question. Why is the local church important? Why is the church important? Now we're understanding this is talking about the institution of the church. And we say institution in the same sense as when we talk about the home. There's not a home that's situated 500 feet above the earth where we say that's the home that God's talking. No, the home is an institution that is found every place there is a husband and wife who come together in holy matrimony. That makes up a home. Okay, that's a home. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at this question, and I want some feedback. And I'm going to write some of these things down. I'm going to write them down because I want to hear what you say. And we're going to open this up to everybody here this morning. So ladies, we're going to let you chime in if you want to do that. But here's the thing I want to ask you. Why is the local church important? And here's the thing. Even though there is an institution of the home, it comes into flesh and blood when we mention Brother Allen and Miss Stephanie, Bobby and Crystal, Michael and Sarah. You know, list can go on and on and on. Brother Artemis, we can just go on and on and on. But when we talk about the church as an institution, it comes into flesh and blood when we look at each other in the face and we see that we're here. We're the ones who make up the church. So I want to ask you this question. Why is the local church important? So here's what I want to do. You tell me why the church is important. I want you to tell me, based on, you know, some of you are in your 30s and 40s. Some of you are in your 60s and 70s. Tell me why the local church is important, because I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear. Well, Alan, you're waving your hand. I know. You had that little Donnie Harvey, that little thing, I've got something I've got to say. Man, it's like, amen. That's like getting, I'm trying to drink out of a fire hose, brother. You're giving me all, yeah. It's too. All right. I say amen. Excuse me. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. The reading is the public reading of the Word of God. Exhortation is encouraging you with what you've heard. Doctrine is teaching the Word of God. Okay? So why is the local church important? All right. Somebody give me something else here. Miss Sarah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if I were, honestly, and I know some of you fellas have to work on Saturday, but if I happen, and of course it's unusual, you'd find a truck driver home, I guess, on Saturday because everybody just, you guys work a lot. But if I went up and knocked on the door and there was a truck driver there, I'd want one of you fellas there to witness. When Brother Francini was here, he didn't get a chance to talk to the person, but there was a Marine Corps flag that was in the front yard. Well, I'm going to get a retired Marine to go talk to the guy at the door, because there's a commonality there. And even as a body, we have different backgrounds. That's very good. So we have different parts to play. I'm just going to put especially on visitation when we witness. I mean, I was thinking you were going somewhere else. I was thinking you were going to say something like, we all have different roles within the body. You know, certain people can play music. Certain people can sing. Certain people are able to teach. Certain people are able to testify. And some people have the gift of exhortation. Just because a person is not a preacher doesn't mean they don't have the gift of exhorting somebody to do something along the way. So that's kind of where I thought you were going. That's a good point on the visitation. So, but that's, I guess, that's just part of the whole thing there. Yeah. Amen. Somebody give me something else. Anybody? Wow. Brother, I'm going to sum that up in one word. I'm going to sum that up in obedience. Because that's exactly right. I'm going to write down obedience, and that's Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some folks will not come together as the church. And really and truly, it does. You don't have to have a church building to have a church. I mean, we could do just like the Amish do. I mean, we'd have a hard time in some folks' houses crowding everybody in, you know. But at the same time, you could meet from house to house and still have a church, still have a church family. So the local church is important because we're going to be able to obey what God says to do as far as meeting with the church. Okay, that's good. We got to have obedience. Somebody else got one. Mm-hmm. Fellowship's good. Fellowship is good. If I'm going to talk about hunting and fishing, I would rather talk about hunting and fishing with believers. But granted, that shouldn't be the only thing we talk about. When we arrive at church, there ought to be a sense of we're getting ready to meet with God. Now, sometimes even the preacher don't come in, you know, that way. I mean, I came in this morning. I thought, man, the yard looked really good. And I was telling my wife, I said, man, that yard looks good, you know, just picking on. I told you, I said, yeah, I think Brother Michael just worked himself into a job, you know, just making conversation. Not that, you know, y'all haven't done a good. We're just making conversation. So I wasn't being super spiritual this morning when I came in. So just having said that, really our conversation needs to be more geared toward what's getting ready to happen that day. We're getting ready to go into the presence of God as a church family. We've got to be led into that. And if we're so consumed with what goes on in the world, we're there. I hesitate to even say about it, but automatically, on a day like today, many times when people go into the church house, somebody's going to preach on racism after yesterday. Some people are going to preach on terrorism after yesterday. And granted, those are some things that need to be touched on at some point in time. It's not right for a man to look at another man, no matter what color he happens to be, and look down on him because he's a different color. I mean, it's just not the way you're supposed to do things. But understand this, I did not come to the church to preach reconciliation among certain peoples, different peoples. That's not the job of the preacher. The preacher is to preach all the counsel of God. And when he touches on those things, fine. But you can't make that your hobby horse and the focus of your life. So there's some things to preach on that. But having said that, fellowship is so important. We need to fellowship around the things of God. There's a movie that we've had at the house for a couple of years. It's called Time Changer. It's a fictional story, of course. It's about a man who writes a book in the 1800s, and he doesn't mention the name of Jesus. He's very big on morality. And so the main character sends him, and that's the guy who was the captain on the Love Boat. I can't think of his name right now, but he got saved and made Christian movies. And he sends this man forward into the future. And so the man goes forward into the future, and he's sitting in the church building. And he's sitting next to this one man, and he says this, "So how has our Lord been speaking to you out of His Word this past week?" That's a legitimate question. That is a legitimate question. And he comes back with some type of nonsense about how thin the paper is in the Bibles that are coming off on the market these days. I mean, it's a non-answer to the question. There ought to be a concern. How's Brother Keith? How's the Lord been speaking you out of the Word this week? Brother Artie, when you and your wife talked about the Scripture this week y'all read, did y'all come across anything that helped y'all out? Or, you know, did you have a prayer answer this? A lot of times we do that in testimony time. But there ought to be a way in which I can come to you and ask you, how has God spoken you out of the Word this week? You ought to be able to ask me the same thing, and I ought to be able to say, well, you know, I've gotten a few truths. Here's some things that I've noticed this week, a few verses that have jumped out to me. And if I can say, and if for some reason there was nothing that I could focus on one thing, I ought to be able to point to where I had a time of fellowship in the Word where just the Lord began to feed me out of certain passages or whatever, even if there wasn't a particular focus on one particular issue in my life. So we got to have fellowship. Fellowship really needs, and church, here's the thing, fellowship is not supposed to be around hunting, fishing, motorcycle racing, you know, farming, you know, all those type things. How bad? And no, we all have problems. We all have issues that we deal with. Some folks deal with family issues. Some folks deal with financial issues. Some folks deal with the job, all those things. I'm not talking about not coming in and bearing those burdens. We've heard some prayer requests that we need to pray on because those are burdens on our church family's hearts. But when you come in and it's constantly, this is what's happened on the job. It's almost like the job is the God that rules your life instead of the God who gave you that job. I mean, there are some people, and I'm not trying to be carnal, there are some people, they have stayed home, they've watched Hee-Haw, and all they learn is gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, yeah, that's all they've learned. That's all they've learned. And that's why, and when you come in, that's where they live at. They always live underneath the juniper tree. There ought to be a time of fellowship where we can look at the Word of God together and talk about that. When we go in there in the fellowship hall during Jubilee, preachers are talking about the things of God. I know Brother Grady, Brother Patton, and Brother Harvey and some of y'all, other folks were in here talking about some of the Baptist history and some of the other things, the history of Israel and some of the new things that, with Brother Grady's new book that came out. All those things are very important for us to hear. Okay? And we get that in fellowship. So the fellowship really is around the things of God. In fact, if you read 1 John chapter 1, these things write we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Full joy comes from having fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the church. Can I get an amen on that? I know some people say, well, I can get along just fine without the church. Watch this. No, you can't. I know some folks who say, well, you know, we can have just as good a Christian life apart from the church as we can at the church. That's not true. If that's the truth, then why did Jesus say He'd build His church? And I'm going to give it to you in good old East Tennessee. If the church is His'n, we ought to do what He says. If it's His church, we need to obey what He says to do in the church. So around the things of God is how we fellowship. 1 John, that'd be 1, that'd be 3 and 4, I think, somewhere in there. All right. Amen. I'm just going by memory. So we've got here the preaching. Come together as the body. Everybody contributes. Obedience to Hebrews 10:25. Fellowship. What else do we have? Any other thing you can think of why the church comes together? Good job, Kevin. What's that? All right. You get tired of going through the same rut all week long. You turn on the news, it's always bad. Why does the media continue to feed the whole racism thing? Because it gets viewers to watch. It's good for ratings. It's all about the love of money, which is the root of all evil. But when you come to the house of God, you get some hope. You get hope. You get hope. We give us hope. Yes, ma'am. There it is. Everything we've said up to this point has been right on. So I'm not discounting anything that's been said because it's all right. Everything we've said has been scriptural. The main reason we come to church is to focus on Him. It's all about Him. And I will say this, it's all about Him because it's all about you. And it's all about you because it's all about Him. What do you mean, preacher? It's all about Him because it's all about you. When He died on the cross, who did He die for? He died for sinful humanity. And so it was all about you in His mind. So, Brother Stanton Blue preached a message one time on this service is all about you. It's about salvation. It's about service. It's about submission to God's will. We come together to hear what God says. We come together to worship Him. Worship is a compound of two English phrases, worth and ship. Worth-ship. God is worthy. So when we come together in worship, we are letting Him know the worth that He has. Number one, because He is. Number two, in our own lives. Okay? So congregational worship. We mentioned giving hope. And I'm going to throw out number seven. I've got six here. I'm going to throw out number seven. And one of the other reasons you come to church is to discern His will. I got called to preach sitting in the local church. I got saved in church. Some of y'all didn't get saved in the church, but y'all got saved outside of the church because of what you'd heard inside the church. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. So you may not have been in the building, but what you got in the building went with you outside. That's why you're saved. We also come to church to discern His will. Most people get called to a service or a work based on what they hear either in the building, what a preacher has preached in the building. And I mean, it's not limited to the building. I mean, you can hear a message online. I think it might have been Miss Dixie. You heard Brother Burkhold's message on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that's what God used to just tip you over and just finally surrender your life to be a missionary. So it does not necessarily have to be in the church house, but understand it's going to be associated through the church. You're going to find God's will for your life. How does a young man know he's not supposed to be a preacher? How does a young lady know she's not supposed to be a missionary or a Sunday school teacher or something like that? How does she know that? How do folks know that? Well, I'm going to tell you. You're going to find that out by coming to the house of God. You're going to come find that out. So I've got seven things. Anything else? Somebody else throw something out. I mean, we've scratched the surface a little bit. There's a whole lot more we could say. Ah, speaking of missions, let's just add missions to that. We come together as a church preaching the same message we want the missionaries we support to preach. So we send them out by our giving. Amen. In fact, Stennett Ballou says this, the mission of the church is missions. That's not a bad deal. That's not bad. The mission of the church is missions. Why else is the local church important? Yes, ma'am. Study. You may not do a lot of actual study as far as book study in the local church service when we're worshiping, but there's going to be some learning that's going to go on. We learn. In fact, some things are better caught than taught. There are some things that I've learned that I didn't read out of a book. I just watched what happened, heard what happened, listened to preaching over and over, and caught on to some facts and truth. So you're going to come to church to learn. You're going to come to church to learn. What else? And again, like I said, I'm scratching the surface here. We are scratching the surface, rather. Anybody? I think that would probably go along with worship. I'll put that along there. Yeah. We fellowship one with another, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's going to be fellowship involved. There's going to be fellowship with Christ involved. Yeah, y'all come on in. We're just letting Sunday school. We're just going to run Sunday school till we run out. Can't ring the bell, but I've been known to go over the bells before. It's fine. Amen. When Jesus goes into the temple and overturns the table of the money changers, kicks out those folks who are selling the doves, He says this, My nation shall be called, this house shall be called among all nations a house of prayer. Prayer. So why do we come to church to pray? Why do we come to church to pray? I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed when we had prayer Friday and Saturday for the Jubilee, and we only had a handful of people. I wonder where folks were at when we prayed. Well, I can pray at home. Well, then why did Jesus say, my house will be called the house of prayer? Why did He say that? It's all right. I can preach loud. So I've got 10 reasons why the local church is important. And what I'm going to do in Sunday school, I'm praying about whether Sunday school or on Sunday morning. We're going to go to Mark this morning and finish out chapter 11 and chapter 12, the parable that comes along. The parable of the vineyard comes right on the heels of what we're talking about this morning. So I feel like I've got to jump into chapter 12 of Mark really soon. But at the same time, what I'm teaching this morning in Sunday school, what we're talking about, that needs to be given to our entire church family on Sunday morning. We need to have folks who are faithful. We cannot have a church without faithful people. And so, one of the things that the business world will teach you is what's called the Pareto Principle. And it's that old adage where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And I don't know if it's that way in the real estate world. I have no idea. But usually you find that out. It works. There are some men I've known who've been in the insurance business, other places like that. They'll tell you that the majority of the work is done by just a handful of people. So, and unfortunately, that was one of the great disappointments I had when I first got in church after leaving Catholicism. I was disheartened by the number of people who said they loved Jesus. They said it with their lips, but I watched their footsteps, and I saw two different things when it came to attending church, coming to church. I still remember that one family. Nice people. I can call their name right now. Super nice people. they came only on Sunday morning, and they got their weekly dose, and they were good. They didn't need it. And I thought, man, I wish I could be that spiritual. Where I just need to come to church once on Sunday morning, I could get everything I need to get my wagon loaded, go home, and just not. And I tell you, I find out that I leak really, really bad. And if you think I leak bad, ask my wife and kids. They're like, oh man, he leaks bad. He needs preaching too bad. That's why they love Jubilee, because I get my wagon loaded. You know what I'm saying? So, amen. Amen. Y'all can smile. It's all right. It's okay. Amen. Truth hurts sometimes, even if you're the one speaking it. Amen. Well, we got 10 reasons why the local church is important. We hear the preaching of the Word of God along those lines. We come together as a body and use our gifts, whether it's here or out on visitation. We're obedient to the Word of God, Hebrews 10:25. We fellowship around the things of God. 1 John 3 gives us hope. We come together for congregational worship, fellowship with Christ. We discern His will. We're involved in missions. We learn and study, and we pray. And I'm sure we can go on with some other of those. There are other reasons we could. So, how y'all doing? Amen. So we're going to go on and continue with these thoughts next week, the Lord willing, and go back to Matthew 16. I brought a lesson sometime back about why the local church was important. We looked at Jesus, Paul, and Peter. May go back and revisit that again just to kind of reemphasize some of those truths, and maybe we'll have some other folks come in when we do this. So let's go ahead and dismiss Sunday school. Father, please bless the Word this morning. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in the house of God, Lord, faithful to Your church. And I pray that You'd put that love and that affection in the hearts of, Lord, Your other little children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.